Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I know, Steve, that God's put something on your heart about suffering and the joy of coming to know the Lord. Mm-hmm. Talk to us, man. Share with us what God's showing you in your abiding time.
Yeah. Well, God's actually been speaking to me. He showed me something about depression, actually. And, you know, in one of our earlier programs, we were talking about military and a vet that was just going through just the hardships of that transition. And it really made me think about, you know, what God's been saying to me. And it's just like I think about my own transition when I got out of the Marine Corps. And it was a very depressing season of my life because I was living my life for this life. Right. You know, we also talked about just like the successes of things and stuff and entertainment and what's going on in the world.
Right. You wanted an island and all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah. I had, I literally had a 5-page list of goals and I wrote it all out. And that's what I was living my life for. But I really started to just really focus on that. And I went through pretty much this connects to this, to this, to this. And I started thinking like, okay, well, if I got that, then what? And then if I got that, then what? And I really started to get depressed. And when you really look at our culture, there's a lot of depression that's going on. And it really got me to thinking, too, as far as just how much of the medication and just how much entertainment there is, because there's really a lack of joy. Mm-hmm. And it really got me to thinking as far as just like the that journey that so many are on, because like we were talking about earlier, it's just like there's not a lot of hope. In your when you're looking at just living for this life and living for the things that this life offers, you're like, okay, well, then what? And then what? And what God really showed me was the fact that that's because it's just like the true message of hope has been stolen. The true message of why Jesus came has been stolen. And God was just speaking to me, you know, Jesus had an encounter, and there was a religious person that invited Jesus over to his house. They had dinner. And there was a lady that came in, and she heard that Jesus was at this particular person's house. So she went. And she fell at Jesus' feet, weeping, crying, wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, kissing his feet. And it was that different perspective of how you respond to Jesus. And the significant thing was the fact that this religious person looked at this person, the lady at Jesus' feet, and said, you know, if this guy really was a prophet, he would know who this is and that she's a sinner. And the awesome thing is that, you know, Jesus responds and he gives such an analogy that to me it brings so much of a different paradigm. He says, okay, there's two guys. One guy owes, you know, $50. The other guy owes $50,000. And both of them don't have the ability to repay who they owe. And they're both forgiven. Which one's going to love more? The guy that owed $50,000, right? And the thing is, though, is that the religious person was also a sinner. But he didn't understand who Jesus was. That lady at the feet of Jesus understood who Jesus was. And she understood the fact that he is the answer. And fell at his feet just in weeping. And what really got my attention was that reality of the fact of just like when we truly understand why Jesus came, when we truly understand the reason and what he's done, it's going to change our lives. And it's caught my attention because I've never connected that presence of depression and how so many are going through some, like you're saying, just like that transition or so many in our culture right now have not heard that message, have not heard that true gospel, have not have heard that one who is hope, because they're looking for the medication or they heard that advertising of this is it, this is going to fix it, get that prescription, get that promotion, and this is it. But then once they get to the end of that season, they're back where they started. And like I said, that is my story right there, because I realize, okay, well, that island, that's really not going to fulfill me. And that's the thing, is that the powerful reality is that the true message of Jesus has been stolen from so many, or it has never even been shared for so many. That's what you're talking about, the seven mountains of, you know, being a light where God has placed us. And
isn't it amazing though too that the people that almost chase the hardest for happiness never actually find it? Like you're working so hard to find this happiness in your life. You're striving. You're doing the job. You're doing the stuff. You're getting the car. You're doing everything that they told you, and you're still miserable.
Yeah, yeah. And it made me think about too. Misty Edwards. She wrote a book called "What's the Point?" And I think she was like 17 or 18, and she was just up and down the hallway saying, "You know, I'm going to die, and what am I doing this life for? And just what am I doing? And she was just really focused on that, and I started thinking about the fact that for some, depression is a good thing because it's that awareness of the fact that, okay, you're seeing the hollowness of a life that's devoted just for this life. And you're saying, okay, well, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. And it causes you really to look outside of just the successes that the world offers.
Man, I remember a time in my life where I was, you know, I was in college and I was so depressed that I would have to tell myself getting out of bed, I would have to say, today's going to be the greatest day of my life. Today. I mean, really, I did. It's right. Because I was trying to do, I was on that treadmill that everybody's told us. I mean, you had the island, but I had something else. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I was trying to do this thing. They were, I said, go to the school and do all this. So I was like, okay, I'm doing it. I'm doing everything that they said would make me happy. And I'm just more miserable. And it was amazing. That period of time in my life, I had to just say that about 30 times, no joke, just be able to walk out the door. No one would ever know that. And because, you know, everyone's good at putting on a mask.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I had to do until I found the Lord.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to share that with us, but.
Yeah. And that's the powerful thing, because so often it's those that are right next to us, like you're saying, like, because I was one of them that have that mask on. They look great and shiny and presentable on the outside. On the inside, they're just looking. It's just like, what am I doing this for? What am I doing this for? And it really got me to thinking the fact that so many people are looking for hope because the true message of hope has been stolen for so many. And it got me to thinking is that, you know, there's a state of depression in the church. There's so many that are walking around with that downcast, like, why is your face so downcast? Where's your hope? Because when we understand the true reason why Jesus came, when we understand the true effect of the finished work of the cross and that eternal benefit, that eternal cause of what Jesus did for us. And for many, the cross is looked at offensively because it confronts that reality of that it's not going to be done just in your good works, like the religious person viewed Jesus. But when we respond to Jesus like the woman at his feet, like, What can I do for you? Because when we understand our own frailty and a position of sin, we're like, oh my goodness, I just want to give my whole life to you.
Yeah. And so the Galatians says, you know, who's bewitched you? Who's getting on your race? You started well in this transformation of giving your life to God and realigning and dethroning yourself. Many people are depressed because they're trying to satisfy their fleshly longings and trying to make themselves happy.
Right. And it's not working.
It ain't working. And in this transformation that God brings you to, maybe you got stuck and you stopped allowing God to transform you. So here you are, you know, amongst the body and you're trying to figure and trying to use the right combination of scriptures and trying to see how God can just bless you instead of you being the blessing, you know. And you'll find that, you know, as you transition to take your attention off of yourself and putting it on God and others, things will begin to change in your life.
And see, the devil knows how powerful Jesus's blood is. He knows how powerful the sin is and its effect eternity. The devil knows how powerful this the cross is. And that's why he's lied to so many for so long, for them to believe that we can begin to stop talking about repentance, to stop talking about sin, to stop talking about the cross. And it's like when we return to that, when we return to that good news, like you're saying, how beautiful are the feet, when we return to that, true joy is going to return. Because there's that understanding of, let me tell you about the one who's the lover of my soul.
Wow. That's so powerful. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about this because, listen, there is hope in Jesus Christ. You don't have to stay downcast. You don't have to stay in the position of woe is me, doom and gloom. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly, and you can have something more and greater than happiness. You can actually have the joy of the Lord. So we were talking about that, hey, we don't have to stay in depression and doom is gloom. Things happen, no doubt. But that there is a better way that God can pull us out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's having that awareness of eternity.
Mm.
That we're living this life. You know, Paul says that we should be pitied. No, you know, we shouldn't be pitied more than anyone if we're living solely for this life. But when we understand the fact that we're doing this for Jesus, that this is just a vapor, we can have that perspective of just like, you know, recently I shared, it's always that encouragement of just like somebody who's getting ready to go on vacation. Even, you know, when they're living their day-to-day life, all of a sudden they've got a perspective of just like, hey, I'm going to be gone for a week.
Right.
And they've got that everything, it's okay, it just makes sense, I'm gonna have some time. But it's just like when we have that, when we carry that same perspective, it's just like we're living for eternity, we're living for heaven with Jesus. It's just like there is no downcast, there is that joy. It's like we don't need entertainment because we have that consuming joy of the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
And we know the fact that the things of this world can't fulfill us the way Jesus
can. It can't satisfy. I mean, look at the billions and billions and billions of dollars that is spent on entertainment, on fun, on quote-unquote what's a good time, and how, you know what your life was before Christ. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, event to event, party to party, and it was just one continual trying to get to a place of happiness, of fun, of living the life, of trying to make pretend like your life was really as exciting as your Facebook page demonstrates that it is.
Yeah.
I saw someone with a shirt or something said, I wish my life was exciting as my Facebook page. And the thing is like, you know, hey, you know, that gets tiresome after a while. That gets, you know, like, okay, again, one more time, you know, one more thing to try to pull me out. And the problem is that you keep living life and you're just like taking the car and you keep wrecking it all over the place thinking that this fun experience is going to, you know, erase the reality of it. You know, you take a whatever kind of medication or whatever just to make what you call a bad situation go away, but it doesn't fix it. It doesn't fix it. And the quest for happiness and the quest, who doesn't want, we talked about the secrets of having a blessed life on a previous program. You know, we don't have to stay in a place of doom and gloom. Jesus Christ can change your life. And he'll wipe away all your tears, and he will allow you to have joy. And it's amazing. The scriptures say that there's a peace that is available to you that transcends understanding. And the peace of God will come upon you, and it transcends your understanding. And what that means is that it rises above your ability to understand. That in most scenarios, you would be distraught. You would be undone by what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But because the blessing of God and the peace of God and the joy of God is resting upon your life, you're able to go through that really tragic situation.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that happen that cause us to genuinely feel sorrow. And that it's important for us to feel all the dimensions of emotions that, you know, we feel. Some folks don't want to go there. They don't want to feel sorrowful. They don't want to show emotion. Part of showing emotion and going through sorrow means that you're human. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But to remain in that place for an extended period of time and your life is one that consists of excessive sorrow is not the abundant life that God has for us. And that, you know, God can restore to us. He can heal us. You know, there's different dimensions of sorrow and sadness. Mm-hmm. You know, sorrowful because someone passed away is a whole lot different than being sorrowful and just sorry because you didn't get the car that you wanted. Totally different things, you know.
Right.
Why are you downcast? Well, one is because they lost their wife or their husband. The other one's because, well, I didn't get to go to the movies. Well, cheer up. You know what I'm saying? It'll be okay.
Get over it.
It'll be okay.
Right.
And so sorrow has its place, but understand that if you walk with God, joy will come in the morning. Mm. Oh, it will come in the morning. And I just know from my own personal experience that, hey, you know, God can change a dark situation in your life, and he can allow the Son of God, the S-O-N, you know, shine upon your life. And the same window that you looked out of that looked at doom and gloom, the same window that you looked out of that you was hopeless and all you saw were bars, because you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and you stopped living for yourself and you started realizing that your life had a greater purpose, all of a sudden, out of that same window, you're like, look at the flowers. Did you see the bird? It's sunny outside. You have a different paradigm, a different perspective, and life has a total different meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are trying to make it, quote unquote, in this life. They're really trying to define their life in this moment, whether it's measuring their life by the car or by the home or by the vacation or by the job or by the career or by their spouse and what their family's doing. And when those things don't measure up, you know, you work so hard on getting the perfect, you know, trophy husband and the trophy wife, and now because you've lifted it up so high, you know, it's come crashing down.
Mm-hmm.
You've worked so hard and laid everything down just so you can get this position in your career, and you've rose to the top, and you've climbed all the way to the top of the ladder, and you find out that you made it to the top of the building, but your family's on the other side, and now you're sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you work so hard, and you bought the car that you wanted because you thought it would make you happy, and now you lost your job. And you can't even afford to pay for the vehicle, and now you're depressed. I mean, all these things that we get trapped by the enemy to say that this is going to add value to our life. Guess what happens? All the enemy has to do is touch that thing, and then your sorrow is gone. He stole your joy.
Right.
Because your joy was found in something else, not in the one who actually is joy and love and peace.
Amen.
Himself. These are the beautiful benefits, the wonderful pleasure of his company. These are the things that we marvel at and say, oh, God, I'm just so happy to know you today. I'm just so filled with gratitude that you saved me. You know, I don't have all the answers. I still don't know how the situation is going to turn out. I still don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. But I can tell you tonight, Jesus, that I can lay my head on my pillow and know that it's still going to be okay because I know the one who holds tomorrow. And that's what you need to know today. You need to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what your trial, no matter what, you know, devastation that you're experiencing in your life, that Jesus wants to meet you in that place. He wants to meet you in your brokenness. He wants to meet you in the place where you're just totally undone. And he wants to pick you up. He wants to restore you. He wants to love on you and show you that there's a better way. You weren't made just to live through this life. Listen, there is a life to come. We're here just but a vapor. And if you miss it, you'll get, you know, sidetracked by all the shiny objects. When Jesus says, I want to be the object of your desire. I want all eyes on me, Jesus says. And I will steer you on the right path. And I'll bring you to a place that you've never dreamed was possible. Listen, old things pass away. Let all things become new when you truly just give it all to Jesus and say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Be the captain of my ship. I'll follow you wherever you go, and I'll trust you that you'll turn it all around.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.